Okay, good morning, good Erev Shabbos. We are back with the Maharal Shir here at Adas Torah Friday morning. We're going to learn Parshas Chayesara this morning. The learning we're doing today and all of this week in the Kolel and out of the Kolel is Le'ilu Nishmas Yosef Ben Simcha. His yard site is tonight and tomorrow, and it's the 30th yard site, and we're learning Le'ilu Nishmas Yosef Ben Simcha. Just a reminder to anyone listening here or online, you could always sponsor a shir, a day, a week, a month in the Kolel. You can sponsor a year, you can sponsor a decade. We have the new feature now. Just let me know and we'll work out whatever, you know, the pricing might be for that. So,
minutes.
Huh? We can do 5 minutes too. Yeah, but the price goes up as you get lower because the quality, it's really about the quality, not the quantity. So I'll be honest with you, it's only a one-sided sheet today. That's again, quality over quantity. But part of the challenge of today is that we're going to talk about two Maharals. I think we're going to understand them independently, you know, to the best of our abilities, as much as we understand anything. But I'm having trouble putting them together. So oftentimes when we learn two pieces, they're connected or they're distinct. Here, I think they're connected, but they're I don't know if it's a contradiction. I just don't know how to smoothly fit them together. So I'm going to put it out, al shulchan malachim in front of you, and you'll try to help me figure out how to put everything together. If not, then it's a work in progress. We're learning Maharal together this year. So every time we discover new yesod, those new ideas in the parshios, we're going to try to connect them to previous weeks and try to get a thought process, try to get a mahalach, try to get a direction of the Maharal in general. So this is an example where I'm not sure that how to work it out yet, but at least we'll see the different points that he's making. So in source number one, you have the pasuk in the very beginning of our parsha. Vayehu chaye sarah, me'ah shana ve'esrim shana v'sheva shanim shnei chaye sarah. So Rashi picks up on a few, interesting textual points over here in terms of how the years are broken up, the fact that they're broken up, the order they go in. So it's an interesting, bunch of Rashis over here that you have to deal with. One Rashi that we're going to focus on is the one that's copied here on the page. Why repeat 100 years, 20 years, 7 years? Why repeat each one? Years, years, years. Just say she was 127 years. 127, I got that right, yeah? Lomer l'chasha kol echad nidrash le'atmo. Because each of those sets of years, each of those groups of years, are actually a separate unit that needs to be looked at and identified and analyzed on its own. Bas mea kibas esrim l'chet. When she was 100 years old, it was as if she was 20 years old, because at 20 years old, we assume that a person's slate is wiped clean, and they're no longer culpable for any averos that they may have performed beforehand. So that, at the age of 100, she was literally like a 20-year-old, meaning she didn't have any sins to her. Fine. Ma bas esrim lo chata shahari ena bas ocean, because her slate was wiped clean. Af bas mea lo chet. Ubas esrim kabas sheva le yofi. Now, just, we're not going to focus on the fact that 7 years old is not an age of beauty in our current reality. The world has changed. The world has changed 10 times over in the last 10 years. The world has changed a million times over in the last 5,000 years. So at that stage in history, age was a totally different idea. We saw in 2 weeks ago, Avraham Avinu was the greatest philosopher in the world at the age of 3. Sometime between the age of 3 and 40, he progressed, but he started thinking about these things at 3 years old. Age was a different thing back then. So when we hear beautiful like she was 7, it's not obviously going to be something we relate to at this stage in history. That being said, the psukim assume there was a certain yofi that Rashi's pulling out from the psukim. There was a certain yofi, a certain beauty of Sarah that existed even when she was 20 years old. She had the beauty of someone much younger. Okay, so what exactly is going on over here? So the Maharal, in his commentary, Gur Aryeh, he makes the following point by way of question. Vim Tomari says, Lama misha be'echosa kasav biyofi? What is the point? Who cares? Why is the Torah telling us that Sarah Imenu was beautiful? Sheker Achein, Behevel Ayofi. We know the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, we sing it in Eishes Chayil, that nobody cares about that. It's vanity, it's vain. It's not something that's relevant. It's definitely not something that's relevant in terms of Kedusha, that someone have beautiful looks, that someone be handsome, that someone be Yofi. So why is the Pasuk going out of its way, or I should say Chazal, going out of their way to stress that Sarah Imenu was so beautiful? Vinira Lomar, the second line. Dekrolo Ari Biyofi. Rashi uses the word Yofi, but it doesn't mean beauty. It's not that she would have won some contest in terms of her looks. That's not what we're talking about over here. Rak Mibnesha Adam Hu Mechubar Mbeis Chalakim. Every person is made up of two distinct, disparate parts to themselves. There's two chalakim, two parts to a person. Miguf v'nefesh, we have a body, and we have a soul. we have ruchnius, we have gashmius, right? We have spirituality, and we have materialism, we have physicality. Those two parts feature in every person. V'higid lecha akasav, what the pasuk is telling us here, is shesara haisa shelema b'chol elu abeis chalakim. That Sari Imenu was complete, or really the right word I think is perfect, in both of those areas. Her body and her ruchnius, her spirituality, her nefesh, her soul, were both perfect. They were both complete. They were both full. V'lohaya b'chisaron, she had nothing lacking, im shlemas aguf, im shlemas anefesh, not in physicality, and not in spirituality either. Ha'isa shlema b'kol elu shnei chalakim, v'lohaya b'chisaron at all. Shlemus ha-guf, shlemus ha-nefesh, everything was there by her. Continuing in the bold, v'hayofi ha-zeh, this beauty that Rashi is referring to, shu einu lefi ha-teva, it's unnatural, it's beyond teva, it's not something that should have existed at that age. Ulefi ha-minag yorash al sha-guf hu-naki, sorry, einu lefi ha-tega ulefi ha-minag, it's not normal. Yore al sha-guf hu-naki, v'hu ba'ir mibli sig. It teaches you, or shows, or put on display the fact that Sari Imenu's guf, her body, was clean, it was pure, it was clear, b'li sig. There was no deficiency, there was no blemish, there was nothing missing about her physically or about her spiritually. Uchmosha Timsa, Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu, we actually spoke about this, but not in person, it was sent out as a recording, Parsha Zos HaBracha, but the Pesukim say, Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parsha Zos HaBracha, v'lo kasa eino, v'lo nas lecha, that he didn't lose his eyesight, that he didn't go blind at the end of his life, but also that he didn't lose any moisture, meaning he didn't wrinkle, he didn't decay in any way physically whatsoever. Shegam zeh mora behir es aguf. What that shows you is that Moshe Rabbeinu had a clarity, had a perfection to his body as well. So that's what Rashi was saying about Sarah, is that Sarah, not talking about beauty, we're not talking about looks. Sheker chen v'halva yofi. That's not the point. The point is she was complete. She wasn't lacking anything. Even in her old age at 20, she wasn't old, but at old age, even in her older years, she still maintained that youthful vibrance. She still had that fullness, that completeness, that health of her guf and her neshama, both of them. So the pasuk tells you, first of all, that bas chaf. Well, second of all, bas chaf kebas sheva. And continuing in the Maharal, Masha Haisa bas kuf kebas chaf. When she was 100, she was like she was 20. Yoral ma'alas hanefesh. That shows that she was complete in terms of her ruchnius, in terms of her spirituality, her neshama as well. V'hinei haisa shleim bakol. So she was complete. She was perfect in every way. So again, it's not, the Maharal takes the focus off of looks. It's not about looks. It's about completeness. It's about perfection in body and in soul. Now, he doesn't spell this out, but one assumes, and we'll see in a second, maybe this is true, one assumes that those two things are not, he said there are beis chalakim, there are two parts to a body, to a person. Those two parts, the body and the soul, interact, right? Meaning your body has an impact on your soul has an impact on your body, correct? They're always in conversation, and they're always, often in a battle too. It's not always a friendly conversation, but the body and the soul are always interacting, and so one would expect that what the Maharal means, and I think he does mean this, what he means is that, ha b'ha talia, since she was so perfect in her neshama, in her ruchnias, her body retained its perfection as well. I mean, she was a perfect entity. Her body and her soul were in harmony, were in complete harmony, so neither one decayed, neither one had any deficiency, neither one fell in its levels over the years. Does that make sense to everyone? That's probably true. The Maharal probably means that. The truth is, we saw this by Moshe Rabbeinu in that shir. Again, he referenced in the very last part over here, the Maharal said, that's what it means by Moshe Rabbeinu, that he didn't lose his eyesight, that he didn't lose his koach, that he didn't lose he didn't wrinkle in his old age, on his last days of life. If you look at the end of Source 1 in the a little bit smaller font, in Gvuras Hashem, Perek Chaf Dalid, Rabbi Hartman does not quote this here on the page, but we did it back then. So the Maharal says, V'zeh sod, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzura nivdeles, lo hayashinu l'nivua, so Moshe Rabbeinu was separate, completely separate from Gashmias, from any physicality in this world. He was such a perfect person. He was so distinct from physicality that he didn't have any changes in the nivua. And the Maharal says here in the bold, V'zeh sod, this is the secret behind Mashenem bar Moshe, lo kasa eino, v'lo nas lecho, the pasuk we keep talking about, Shemoshe nafsho lo haya mutba baguf. His neshama wasn't embedded into a body. He was basically a walking ruchnius. He was a walking, a spiritual entity. He was a walking neshama. He had a body that had to give him his physical place to be in this world, but it wasn't embedded. It wasn't like his neshama was attached to his guf. He separated them so much. He was so focused on ruchnius that he wasn't tied to gashmius at all. Mipnei zeh lo hayah mekabel chulsha, shekol koach guf mekabel chulsha, b'mashu mutba baguf. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu never weakened. He never lost his youthfulness. He never lost his health in any way. Never lost his eyesight. Never lost any of the things that were part of his body, because he wasn't connected to his body. Because his body was a physical entity, and he was not a physical entity. He was basically a spiritual entity operating in a physical world. Everyone remember this? Does this make sense so far? So that sounds like a parallel, and the Maharal does reference it in this piece as well. It sounds like a parallel to what we're talking about. Sari Menu was Bas Chav Kebas Sheva. She was like a 7-year-old in terms of physicality at the age of 20, because she was like a 20-year-old at the age of 100 in terms of spirituality. I mean, those two things are interlinked, because she was so ruchni, she was such a perfect entity in terms of spirituality, that carried over, that overflowed, and she was complete, not only in physicality, not only in spirituality, but also in physicality as well. It's a beautiful idea. It's something that I do think, to a certain level, we do observe it. I think that there's a, you know, there's an observable, again, I'm not trying to be dramatic, there is an observable shine or beauty to certain Talmid Chacham Tzadikim. And, you know, if you would ask someone who's not sensitive to Kedusha, they might not notice something like that. They might notice a person who looks frail and old and broken down. But sometimes when a person actually appreciates the godless of who they're looking at, there's a shine, there's a glow emanating from that person. There's a beauty to the person. That's a physical reality. But apparently those two are connected. When you see a gadol, when you see someone who's working themselves, they're literally more handsome than we perceive it. But the Maharal is saying that's just the physical, you know, manifestation of what we're talking about. It's a glow, it's a beauty from the perfection of their physicality, because the two are linked. Because you see someone who's working themselves so much, there's a certain shine, there's a certain beauty to them, even in their older age, and even when physically someone might not identify that if they were detached from spirituality. Again, if you have eyes of Kedusha, eyes of spirituality, you're able to perceive spirituality. Avram Avinu was able to tell where Har HaMoriah was for the Akedah. The people who were with him, who didn't reach his level, didn't see the Shechina resting over the Har. Meaning a person develops eyes of Kedusha, then they're able to perceive Kedusha. So this may be a physical reality that's hidden to some people, but it is, the Maharal says, a reality that the two are connected. In source number two, we have the psukim at the very end of the parsha. Now, we're not going to get into the details over here about Yishmael, but we're just going to use the words of the psukim in the Maharal. The pasuk says, "Ve'elo shnei chayi Yishmael me'as shana u'shloshim shana v'sheva shanim," 137, "Vayigva vayamas vayeosef el amav." So Rashi explains, "Vayigva," that word, "Vayigva," is a lashon of dying. It's a lashon of passing away. "Lo namra gviya ela b'tzadikim." Again, we're not going to focus on Yishmael and tzadikim, but the word gviya apparently is specifically related. Only tzadikim, when they die, are called vayigva. They experience this process of gviya. But other people, Rishayim, don't experience gviya. They just die. So you have to look at the Rashi, the Ramban, and other Mefarshim on the Psukim to understand a little bit more over here what's going on with this word. But the Gur Aryeh here in source number two, right after the Rashi, talks about this concept of gviya and explains as follows: Vinira, Tahachi Pirusho, Ki Lashum Gviya Hi Afisa Lagamre. What does gviya mean? It means a person nullified or disappears. So when it says vayigva vayamas, it means a person not only died, but just ceased to exist completely. A total nullification of this person as an entity from this world just disappears, just dissipates entirely. And he quotes psukim that support that. So if in the bold, in the second line, vehat tzadik, listen to this. Remember, gviya is only relevant by a tzadik. Hat tzadik nispashet min haguf vekochos hagufanim, pasu tamu mimenu lagamre. A tzaddik who really works on their spirituality loses their physical strength. All of the kochos of physicality, all of the strength that they have in this material world goes away. They become weaker physically as they become stronger spiritually. Acha nafsho sichlis, until his nefesh is completely sichli, is completely intellectual or really completely spiritual. We keep talking about that. The Maharal word seichel, it means spirituality. Until the person is completely spiritual and really has no physicality to them, they've weakened so much that their physicality basically doesn't exist at that point. That's what the Maharal says. V'nikra gviya al haguf. So the guf, the body, disappears. It goes away. Meaning the person becomes such a seichel, such a spiritual being, that their body ceases to function. Their body is weak. It's broken down. It doesn't exist for them anymore. Sheyikne madrigas haruchnias, because they've acquired the level of spirituality. Aval reshayim, But a wicked person, ba'avur ki nafshem ina zacha v'tahora, his nefesh is not clean, it's not pristine, it's not pure. V'nafshem not el aguf, he's more material, he's more magushim dik, as we say in French. He's more tied to his physicality. He's nafshem not el aguf, hari b'nafshem lo shayach gviya. So you can't say that about them, that they're disappearing, because they're very tied to the physicality. Shalom istalik haguf man. Their guf doesn't disappear. They're part of their guf. The tzaddik separates from the guf and becomes weaker. The rasha may be stronger. It's because he's attached to his guf. But the gviya, aval gviya, that word, it means that the body disappears. It's nullified completely. That's true by a tzaddik who's done away with his guf entirely by becoming a spiritual being. Okay? That's what the Maharal here says. Continue in the bold. Aval gviya ve'asifa, when the pasuk says there's gviya and then asifa, collection, that's specifically relevant to a tzaddik, because a tzaddik does away with his body, gviya, and then asifa, he's brought into the real world. He's brought into the olam haba, he's brought into the world of his seichel, of his neshama, so there's a gviya of his guf, and then asifa, a collection of his neshama. His guf disappears completely, it dissolves, because he doesn't care about his guf, he's done nothing to maintain it. He takes care of his ruchnia, so the guf is less important. And as the guf leaves him, he's collected into the place where he really belongs, the olam haba, the olam haneshamos. So the Maharal here says, basically, and we're going to see one example of this soon, the Maharal basically says, seichel and guf, spirituality and physicality, are opposing forces. I mean, that's intuitive to us. We know that. They're opposing forces, though, in the following way. The same way, you know, when Esav is misgaber, Yaakov goes down. When Yaakov is misgaber, Esav goes down. So, too, when the seichel is misgaber, when the seichel is worked on, when you're working, when you're going to the gym for your ruchnius, so your body is not going to be as fully performing, because you're not focused on that. And because you're, in order to be ruchni, you have to be removed from physicality. Tosis in Maseches Ksubas, I believe it is, quote a medrash, which says this, based on a pasuk, I think, from Tillim. David HaMelech says, Torah besoch me'ai, that the Torah is in my stomach. They say about certain gedolim that when if you perform surgery on them and you would open up, you'd cut them open, so blood wouldn't come out, Torah would come out. Like that's what but David HaMelech says about himself. So the Tosafot in Maseches Ksubas, I believe it is, quote a medrash which says, no, Achi Yikanes Torah, or Achi Yikanes, I think, Ochlam Toch Me'ai, the Torah, oh, there's only room for one thing in my stomach, either food or Torah. So when David Melch says Torah Besoch Me'ai, he means not food, meaning if a person eats, they're separating themselves from spirituality by indulging in physicality. If a person only eats the basic necessities to stay healthy, to stay fit, then the Torah has a place to be in his stomach. The Torah and the food are always, you know, one against the other, seichel against guf, ruach against gashmius. So here too, the Maharal is saying, if a person works and works and works on their seichel, on their ruchnius, on their spirituality, by definition that means they're not working on their guf. By definition that means they're separating from physicality in order to attain godless in ruchnius. So the two are going to go up and down in opposing measures. That the Maharal spells out more in other places. If you look in the footnotes in Rav Hartman's edition, he quotes like four or five other places where the Maharal talks about this, that you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have your Torah and eat your cake, whatever. You can't have physicality and spirituality. You have to choose. A person has to choose in this world. He quotes a few Maar Makomas. He doesn't quote this. This is L'chorah related, but he doesn't quote this Chidush HaGadlus in the Maharal in Bav Metzia. The Gemara there says, Ad Avram lo have zikna. That until Avram Avinu's times, apparently people would get older and older and older, but they would look the same age. They wouldn't change in their looks. They would stay the same age. So Avram Avinu came along and actually davened for this, and it changed that at Avram Avinu's age, at Avram Avinu's end of his life, I guess it's in this week's parsha, says, Avram Zakein Baba Yamim. Avram Avinu was old. Avram was the first person to get old because he was the first person to age, because that's what he davened for, that's what changed in the world during his time. So the Maharal explains amazingly. He said, until Avram Avinu's time, nobody understood the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nobody knew of Hashem. And nobody knew of Avodas Hashem. Nobody knew of Ruchnius. The world was extremely gashmi. The world was extremely material. Everyone was only focused on this world. Nobody knew of a higher calling of the religion of Judaism. Avram Avinu brought that into the world. So until the times of Avram Avinu, people were just a guf with no seichel. So the guf just kept going and going and going. But when Avram Avinu came along, he introduced seichel. He introduced Ruchnius to the world. and Ruchnius and Guf are opposing forces. Now, Avraham Avinu had to daven that it be recognized by the Bria, but what was included in that introduction to the world is that as a person grows in their Seichel, as a person grows in their Ruchnius, their Guf deteriorates. Their body weakens. They lose their kochos because they're so involved in spirituality that the physicality is the other end of the spectrum that's going to be destroyed based on growing in their spirituality. That didn't happen until Avraham Avinu brought spirituality into the world. That didn't happen until Avraham Avinu introduced Seichel, until Avraham, the first Ger, right, brought religion into our world. But the two are opposing forces, and that really is represented by Avraham Avinu coming into the world. It's also true that a person can become more spiritual towards the end of his life. I think this is an example. It's not the exact example, but it's one example. There's a biography they have of Chatzka Levenstein. I think it was Art Scroll. If it wasn't Feldheim, but I think it was Art Scroll. A very, very, very good biography. I'm not always into the Art Scroll biographies, but this one is very good, very well researched, very well sourced. So somewhere there, I don't remember where, somewhere at the end of the book, they say a story that at the end of his life, he didn't cry so much during davening. Reb Chatzka Levenstein was Mashgiach and Panovich then, and he used to cry a lot during davening, but towards the end of his life, he sort of like stopped crying. So they asked him why, or he volunteered why, and he explained when he was younger, to cry involved so much avoda. He had to work on himself so much that he connected to whatever he was crying about until he could bring himself to tears. He said in his old age, it wasn't so hard anymore. In his old age, he said he was so disconnected, you know, from Gashmius, I guess, to the point where he's connected to the things that mattered, that it was much easier for him to cry. He was much more emotional, basically. He was more connected to his spiritual side than he had been in his youth. And so he felt it wasn't as genuine a tefillah to cry when he was older because it was too easy. It wasn't an avoda. It was too easy for him to cry. He can cry about anything. Again, I'm not the age that he was, but I do notice that as I get older also, people do get more emotional as they get older. They get less rigid, less hard, less blocked by other impediments. We connect more to our spiritual side, which is represented for us by emotions. So here, zikna, getting older, represents losing physicality, being less connected. You have less of a yetzer hara, you have less of a connection to this world, and being more emotional, more spiritual, more connected to ruchnius. That only existed when Avraham Avinu came into the world and introduced seichel, introduced ruchnius to our world. So Avram Zakin Baba Yamim, it only existed once Avraham Avinu came along. He has so many other things. You'll look inside over here, the connection between zikna of Hadarta Pnei Zakin and the mitzvah to honor a ger, because gerus and zikna go together. The fact that we include both al zikne am chayisrael ve al ger etzedek in our bracha and shmona esrei, the two are very much interrelated. When one goes up, the other goes down. That's also why the Chazal tell us Torah is mateshes kocha. We spoke about this in the Sfas Emes here once. Torah, when a person learns Torah, it's mateshes kocha, which means it takes away physical abilities. We know Reish Lakish, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us peidalud that area peihei. Tells us that Reish Lakish was a bandit. He was an armed robber, and Rabbi Yochanan saw him leap over a full river. He had amazing hops. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Oh, you have strength. You know, you should learn Torah." When he learned Torah, he wasn't able to jump back over the river, because it's either one or the other. You can't retain that physical connection if you're going to delve into spirituality. So that's true about Avraham Avinu, that's true about every tzaddik after Avraham Avinu, but Avraham Avinu introduced this to the world, and that's why the Lashon Gvia is so relevant to a tzaddik, because a tzaddik destroys his physicality by only working on his spirituality. One goes up, the other goes down. That's a beautiful idea of the Maharal. I do not know how these two pieces are supposed to go together. I'm not saying it's a contradiction, I'm not saying it's a stira, but I do not know how to fit number one into number two. By Sara Imenu and by Moshe Rabbeinu, we say that as they worked on their spirituality and they grew and became such incredible tzaddikim, they separated so much from the physical world that even their body wasn't physical, and therefore they maintained the perfection physically because of their spiritual perfection. By Avraham Avinu, or by Yishmael going into Avraham Avinu, we're saying as a tzaddik works on himself, he grows and grows and grows in ruchnius, the body by nature, mateshes kocho, the body becomes, the resources become depleted, the kochos become depleted, and a person becomes weaker and his older age, those two have to go hand in hand necessarily. How does that fit with the first thing we were saying? There's what to be said that Sari Menu dies before Avraham Avinu is Zakin Baba Yamim. So maybe Avraham Avinu introduced this to the world only after Sara died. So until then, Sara became more and more in her guf, and then afterwards not. But Moshe Rabbeinu was after that. So Moshe Rabbeinu might have been unique. He was sui generis because he totally separated from physicality. I don't know. You have to work out some answer. But that's what I leave you with here. How do you put together the two Maharals? Either way, you see that a person's avoda in life has to be on spirituality, and the natural is that the guf will be depleted, but we hope for a skula that as we work on our spirituality, like Sari Minu, we'll also maintain a perfection and a health of our bodies as well.